Well, amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight, the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. We've been studying through the book of Ezra for about a month or so now. Ezra chapter 4. We've had some exciting adventures. Ezra coming from Babylon and receiving the provision of the Lord, going from Babylon to the decree of Cyrus that came from the Lord to come back to the land to build the temple. Then, of course, chapter 2, we got to read every single name of every family. Amen. We did. We read every name. Those that weren't here, I did. I read every name, mostly accurate. So we see chapter 3, the altar was being set up, and the altar was set up, and the foundation of the temple was laid. And so now here we are in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. It said, let's go back to chapter 3 and just get a few verses here. Verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, and His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So there was shouting and praising and singing and trumpets and all kinds of exciting things, because the foundation of the temple had been laid. It was back to what God said we were going to do. What an exciting thing. And it was so much shouting and joy, it was heard afar off. In chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. Let's pray. We'll get started in this. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the time tonight and your people, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we read and study and learn of your word, that we might learn of you and learn of us and learn of man and learn of our situation. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I talked about this morning, we preached the message, the enemies of the work of God and the servants of the work of God. Tonight, we're looking at the adversaries of the ministry. I didn't plan these to come together, converge, but it took us 7 months and sometime through James, but then several months in Acts and several months. And anyway, here's where we are. Number one, adversaries. There seems to always be those that would oppose the work of God. Primarily, and maybe especially as we see here, when there's such great joy and praise and victory. I mean, listen, God had taken them from captivity through the long journey, 4 month journey, to now here they are, and they're actually seeing being the foundation being laid of what God said. This is what you're here for. What an exciting thing! It's exciting to see God do in, with, and through you what he said he would do. Amen? That's exciting. It's a wonderful thing. But when that happens and the noise of the praise of God comes, the adversary comes, and there seems to always be there. Even, it's interesting, even in a world of tolerance, acceptance, and equality, it seems that God remains the enemy of all. Isn't that something? When there's acceptance of all, God and His people are the last one. Matter of fact, they're the first ones to be excluded, the last ones to be accepted. It's fascinating to see that in society today. Because again, we're not fighting a physical battle, are we? This isn't a physical battle that we're dealing with. This is a spiritual battle for the spiritual freedom of men. You see what I'm saying? This isn't a battle of who's gonna win the election. Right? This isn't a battle of with guns and who's gonna win on this battlefront and on that battlefront. Listen, this is a spiritual battle that's battling for the souls of men. Satan has hated God from the beginning. Amen? He's always hated God. Satan has always hated God. That hasn't changed. And when Satan hates God, thus he hates his people. Right? What do you do when you're mad at God? Go get God, I'm going to get you. No, we ain't going to get God. We don't even talk about getting God because that's pretty crazy. So what people do is they want to get God's people, hurt God's people, and burn down churches. Can you imagine thinking, I'm going to really hurt God, I'm going to burn down a church? And God is totally whooped, right? And but this is what happens. The devil, the old serpent, deceiving, conniving, and lying his way through the earth and using man as his tool. What we find. So this adversary heard of the building of the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. They heard of it. How could you not hear it? These people were going, there's about some 45,000 people. They're excited. 45,000 people get all fired up for Jesus. Well, for God. Right? And they get all fired up and excited and praising and shouting. It's so loud. There's shouting and there's weeping. The shouting just took over and it's going. It's heard abroad and other folks. I mean, he gets the folks' attention. Let me just say this. Sometimes we get the attention of the community and we get the attention of the bad characters of the community. But can I tell you, who really we get the attention of is the enemy of the Lord. You see, Satan almost always sticks up his head when we do something for God. It's almost kind of, I feel like it's somewhat like we're the whack-a-mole. You know, we're the one getting excited for the Lord. We get up there and Satan will come by and bring some trouble to us and try to whack us back down there. But, you know, we need to be like the whack-a-mole and come up another hole. We ain't done. You know what I'm saying? It was just, this adversary that heard about this building of the temple of the Lord God. Let's not be fooled for one moment. These were clearly marked by the scriptures here. It says in verse 1, as adversaries. But notice their first step in the opposition. I want you to notice again this first step in opposition to the work of God in verse 2. They came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. Let us build with you. Hey, listen. No, and you know what they said? Listen, for we seek your God. We seek your God. And as you do, and we've sacrificed unto Him all these days for generations. Listen, we're just like you. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. We're just like you. We're for you. We want to help you. We believe in your cause. We want to be with you in this thing. Man, I'm telling you, they are wolves that know how to put on sheepskin. You know what I'm saying? They come and they were with you. So how do you know when this is, how do you know when you're being deceived? Wouldn't you like to have that when, like, these people call you up? Hey, you've just won. Okay, first of all, if somebody calls you and say you won something, just hang up. Because that's not how winning works today. You know, you've won this gift card from this place you never went to, but it's, or here, we got a check for you. I just, it's, I had a family member. A family member was trying to rent a house. And this family member got on, and this is a great place to find a house, Facebook Marketplace. I'm being facetious there for those that don't know. So this person said, we have a house for you that was way under market value, like three times under market value. But we got this for you, and we'll get it, and you can go over and look at it. They went over and looked at it. I can't be there. I'm out of town, but you can go look at it without us. They came back and said, hey, all you need to do is send us a deposit. And we just need that in Visa gift cards. Seems fair. Most business people work with Visa gift cards. You know, we need something on us that's like our you're lying to me indicator. You know, some people have it better than others. Some people think everybody's lying to them, and others never get it. And can I say there was about $1,700 loss of Visa gift cards that was given to those people. Yeah. A part of me was like, oh, no. Part of me was like, really? You did that? I shouldn't be talking about this. All right. I didn't name the name. It happened, and it's in the past. They said, we're just like you. We're here with you. We're for you. Listen, they first came with agreement. Yeah, came with agreement. But we're going to see quickly that they had no intention of helping at all. They never were interested in helping. I want you to understand that tonight with this. The Bible says they were adversaries. They weren't friends that became adversaries. They were always adversaries. They never were interested. Listen, the leaders of Israel knew this as well. Look at verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. They were straight up, no. Nope, we know where y'all coming from. This is our God, we're going to do this. And as we were instructed by the authority of the land. See how they pull a little of that in? I like what they're doing there. Listen, the work of God is not to be trifled with. I want you to understand that the Word of God isn't something we're going to... I'm talking about the work of God isn't something we ought to toy with. Like it's a game. Folks, we're not talking about just... You know, having a fancy building or having a good name in the community. We're talking about people that we're talking about a place and a body of a people that are doing the work of God, getting the gospel to the world that they might be saved. So a person can be saved from the burden of their sin. It's not a game, let alone from their eternity. It so boggles my mind how we can take such an important work and minimize it to playing a game. My way. I don't like the way you play. You know, house rules here. You know, kind of just change things up. Listen, the work of God is not to be trifled with. God had given the task of building this temple to the children of Israel. So he gave that task. As a matter of fact, he made it very specific. Made it very specific. And he said, in 70 years, you're going to go do this. I'm going to give you liberty. You're going to do this. And he took this pagan, heathen king and gave him and caused him to come and say, God, the God of Israel has told me to do this. It's quite amazing. These men... These adversaries that were now in the land threatened the work of God. They were already in the land. These are those that had been placed in the land. Maybe some of the northern tribes that had scattered had been brought back, and maybe some are not brought back, but they had made their way back, and others, maybe some that were scattered throughout the land after the decimation from Babylon, and there's others, the Assyrian people had brought people down here. A lot of times what they would do with these nations is they would displace them and colonize them with some of their own people. Right? This is how they actually completely uprooted the nations. They didn't leave, they left a very small remnant and brought other people in. Assyria sent other peoples in to colonize this place and took wives of the remnant Israeli women. And so what you have then is this group of people, these foreigners that came in with the women that were left, and now these people began to have families, and this is the root of the Samaritan people that we read about in the New Testament. We find out in the New Testament why they didn't like the Samaritans, and they would actually go around Samaria. Because these were the people that were there, they opposed God, and they by the way, can I tell you, they had this book of Ezra. They've seen what these people did during this time. And so, they were no friends of God. They at best took the God of heaven as one of their gods. These were a heathen, pagan people that they worshiped this God, and they worshiped that God, and they worshiped the other God. And then, yeah, we also worship God. It would be interesting, when we're in Sri Lanka, you would go to some places, and as we would share the gospel with some Buddhists or some Hindus, and they would say, yeah, we like Jesus too. And so there's a Buddha statue. They have one or two of their Hindu statues, and then they have Mary. and then they'll have a big Mary, and then they'll have a little Jesus. And they'll have all these statues. Yeah, we just worship all of them. So at best, they took God as the God of heaven as one of their gods. But at worst, they had no affinity to God at all. They had no interest in Him. They didn't want to help the work at all. They wanted to hinder it. Their goal was to keep their lives, their living style, their situation that they'd had for many years. They were looking to find a way to keep it to remain the same. They enjoyed their life that they had lived for the last 70 years. And these people come back into their town, into their city, into their region, by some decree of God. Right? And they come and they said, now you're going to be changing things. Oh, you better believe it. We are now going to proclaim the God of heaven. We're going to now wipe away. Some suggest, I read some different things, some suggest when they rebuilt that temple, they had to tear down a temple, the altar. They had to tear down a makeshift altar that was built by some of these people. And they built one according to the will of God. So they began to say, what you're doing isn't right, and we're going to do it the way God says to do it. Folks like religion when religion is how we want to religion it. Right? When I can do it my way, we can all do it our way. Let's just kumbaya. Can we all just do a little number of kumbaya for a minute? No. Listen, this is what they want. If we can all just do it how we want to do it, and we can all be happy, each one can do their thing, and we can all just pat each other on the back and say attaboy no matter how you're living. Right? And they came in and said, no, we tried that. We tried that for many generations, and it ended us up in captivity. And so as we've seen last week, the last week we looked at this, so we're going to come now, and we're going to do it back to according to the Word of God. And they didn't want that. So their role in this work was for it to be hindered. They wanted it to be stopped, to be resisted, to be slowed down. But Zerubbabel, he wasn't going for that at all. He said, not happening. And he said, no, you have nothing to do with us. You have nothing to do with us. We're going to build our house unto our God. We're going to actually do it the way God wants to do it. So what do the adversaries do when deception doesn't work? Because this is what they're doing. They were deceiving. They were telling the people, no, we're your friends. We're with you on this thing. We're together, and so when the deception didn't work and they seen right through it, what do the adversaries do when their deception doesn't work? Well, look in verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. See, we're here to help. We're here to help. Now, we want to help you. We worship God. We love God. We sacrifice. Many generations we've sacrificed to your God. And they said, no, we're gonna build this temple to God ourselves. All right, then. We're going to weaken your hands. We're going to trouble you. So right away, they switch from, we're together on this thing. Watch here. We're together on this thing. Amen. We're together. Let's work on this thing together. Let's all be in together on this thing. But then when it didn't go the way they wanted, they say they began to be a hindrance. Literally to hinder the work of God. What an amazing thing. Now remember what the Jews were doing there. They were there to build a temple, the temple of God. The place to worship God. The place to lift up His name. The place to offer sacrifices for sin and offerings for thanksgiving. Ultimately, what they were building is a place to glorify God. But these adversaries who said they wanted to be helpers weakened their hands. So does everybody that say they want to help the people really want to help the people? Evidently not. Well, at least not here. Ezra chapter 4. Everybody that said, yeah, we want to see the work of God go forward. Do you? There's some things that you'd be very sure that looks like somebody that wants to see the work of God go forward. And then there's other things, those that would hinder it. Listen, they weakened their hands in the work of the Lord by getting people to frustrate them. They wanted the people to be frustrated. They continued in a campaign of eliciting the help of others. Watch here what I'm going to say. We're going to see this in just a minute. They had this campaign of eliciting others to help them, calling around, making accusations, stirring up trouble. We're about to see this in just a moment. Maybe not the behavior you would think people that claim to seek your God as you do and sacrifice unto Him for many generations. So maybe the people that would say, I want to help because I worship Him and we've sacrificed unto Him. If people that said, we're just like you, then you would kind of expect them to follow the Word of God in the same way that you do, or at least at all. But instead, it was completely different. So how far will adversaries of the work of God go? I mean, how far will this? Let's read this down a little bit, verse 6. And so, I didn't read verse 5, did I? Let me read verse 5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Listen, here's what it says. I was supposed to read that earlier. Sorry. That's what I was just explaining. And so here it is. They hired people to frustrate them. They hired them to be against them. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia. All the rest of the days of Cyrus, they couldn't stop it, so they kept being frustrating it. Weakening their hands. Imagine hurting people from building a temple, the temple for God. We don't want you to build a place that would glorify God. We don't want you to build a place that would be a lighthouse, that would be a city set on a hill. We don't want you to build a place that God would be glorified, His name being lifted up. We don't want you to do something that would actually reach the nations. I don't know how you could find yourself in that kind of situation and say, we're doing good. Y'all with me tonight? That's what they were doing. So how far will they go? Verse 6 now. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Mithridath, Tebel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Dinites, and the other guys, and the Tarpalites, and the Aphorites, and Babylonians, and the Elamites. And these... My tongue ain't ready for this tonight. So that's all those ites. There are a lot of ites there. And if this is the thing, all these ites are talking about people from different areas. And verse 10, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapper, Snapper brought over and set in the cities of Samaria. He set them in the cities of Samaria. We talked about that earlier. And the rest that are on this side of the river and at such a time. So, number 2, the accusations. Sent a letter of accusations. They wrote accusations to the new king. The previous king was the one that actually sent them. Not a good guy to talk to. He's the guy that said, listen, I want these people equipped. I want them to be sent. They're going to have the power of the government. They're going to go build a temple unto God, as God said to do. So these guys aren't going to go and say, hey, they shouldn't be doing this. Really? Are you going to talk to God? I mean, imagine God commissioning a work and people then saying, God, I don't think this work is right. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good argument, does it? So they say, you know, we'll wait till that king is gone and we'll wait till the new king comes. That's going to be better. So what we're going to do in the meantime, though, we're going to frustrate them. We're going to just weaken them. We're just going to cause them trouble. We're going to hire people to go in and give them grief. So that king's one that the authorized. He gave them the commission. He blessed the work for them. So they got all of the surrounding people to join together in this letter to the new king. That's what all the ites, they went around. Hey, you don't like what they're doing, do you? No, do you want to join? Yeah. Hey, let me. And they called up over here. Hey, you know, you don't like what they're doing, right? Yeah, we don't. Okay, and you? And how about you and your people? Yeah, we all don't like it because we kind of feel weird now because looks like God's blessing them. And God's not blessing us. So I think it'd be better if, let's do that. And they got all the people to join in. All the different ites. By the way, those ites didn't agree with each other. That's how adversaries work. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right? So there becomes this, let's join together to just stop things from going the way we want to go. Look at verse 11 now. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. Here it is. Thy servants, the men on this side the river, and at such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews, which came up from thee to us, are coming to Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. Wow, these folks. They said this. These folks, listen, they sent to build this work for God, are now depicted as rebellious people. Remember that? They were sent, called of God, directed of God, sent of God, and now they're saying, now they're the rebellious people. You ever just like, what can I do? Right? Now it's a bad city. Now Jerusalem altogether, they come to build this bad city. And that's how the whole thing is kind of, see how it gets painted? And let's depict this, let's make this accusation, let's paint this picture, and let's do this thing. It's interesting how the story changes to fit the narrative that the adversaries want to portray. Not only that, but it's full of lies. This is what adversaries of the work of God do. They lie. They had just barely laid the foundation of the temple, right? We just read that. What they were so excited about was the foundation being laid. There was no work on the city. Nothing on the walls yet. We're going to find out later there's going to be complaint that the walls weren't built yet. But they said, yeah, they built the walls that connect them to the foundation. This thing. It's going to be bad. Watch here. Look at verse. We see that there in verse 12. He said this, and they building the rebellious in the bad city and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. He said they've done all this stuff. So there is being portrayed this great rebellion that does not exist. Look at verse 13. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom? And so thou shalt damage the revenue of the kings. Huh. This is often the narrative. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, folks. I'm telling you. I've heard it ever since I've been saved. The same narrative is given by the adversaries of the work of God. I'm not saying it's always, but it's this kind of thing. If they do this, then they're going to do that. They do this, they're going to do that. I've heard these things for over two decades now. And if a church does this thing, they're going to fall off the deep end and stop being used of God altogether. So then the church that does nothing, listen to what I'm saying to you, the church that does nothing, fearful of not being used by God because they do the wrong thing, does nothing for God. So they say, no, if we do this thing, then we're going to be off the deep end, so let's do nothing. And I find it over and over. I've traveled, folks, I'm telling you, I'm just telling you my experience. I've traveled to Independent Baptist Church, I've been to Independent Baptist Church going place to place, and I've seen them over the course of 15 years. I visited church, and I'd go back a few years later, and then a few years later, go back to report to them, and I'd see them, and each time, it'd be the same handful of people or a few less. And then a few less. And I'd go in there, it'd be a miraculous thing to see a new one. They were so afraid that if we do this, this is the narrative that's often used. If we do this thing, then we're going to do that thing. And this is exactly what they're saying here. Oh yeah, King, it's a tactic. You see, it's a way to be in the adversary and try to get people against them. That is the work of the adversary of God, not servants of God. Look at verse 13 now. I read that one already. Let's go to verse 14. Now, because we have maintenance, watch this. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, you know what that's meaning? Because you're helping us, we want to help you, right? Because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor. Did not want to see that. Therefore, have we sent and certified the king, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers, so shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause this city was destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Notice the attempt to be the righteous ones. It was not meet to see the king's dishonor. Right? We didn't want it to go bad. These people are great. They're so concerned for the king's honor. Had nothing to do with them at all, right? Isn't that so sweet? They're not looking for their own goodwill or their own good pleasure or their own desire. They're just doing this to try to help. Anybody believe that? Right? I mean, it's not believable in our head, and it's not believable here either when you look at the record. Again, giving the impression that if things continue to go the way they are going, it's going to end badly and there's going to be nothing left. That's what he said. There's going to be nothing on this side of the river. If this is allowed to continue, you'll have nothing left over here. It's going to be all gone. So number three is the deception. The deception. Look at verse 17. Then sent the king an answer unto Rahab the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwelt in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which he sent unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search hath been made. And it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Yeah, I think probably the worst thing that happened in this situation is the acceptance of the deception. The king took the word of these adversaries. People that had been there all of these years and hadn't built anything. Imagine that. They'd been in this land all this time. They didn't build the city. They didn't do anything. They left it, and we know the walls are. It's just the city is still raised to the ground, and they've done nothing. And somebody comes by the commission of the current king, by the commission of God, to build this thing, and they begin to build. And all of these adversaries can do, they never built anything. All they can do now is stop the work going forward. And this new king says, you're right. He accepted the deception. He didn't send an ambassador to go check it out. Didn't send anybody to look at it, see what's going on. He just took the word of the adversaries, and then he acted upon it. He stopped the work that the Jews were doing. The problem is that this work was instructed by God. Chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us that. Let's look there right quick. Chapter 1, verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Listen, he's saying right there, he said, listen, God has charged me, the king of this place, to build him a house. I'm going to let his people go to do it. And now, this new king has stopped the work that the Jews were doing. It was instructed by God. This is not man's work. You hear what I'm saying to you tonight? Listen, 5 minutes will be done. Y'all with me? Give me 5 more minutes and we're going to be in time. This is not man's work. This is God's work. To hinder or stop God's work is the purpose of the adversaries of God. There are adversaries in the ministry. And I want you to see here, we're back in chapter 4, verse 23. We're going to finish chapter 4 today. Amen? Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rahab and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They went up in haste. Not in haste to the Lord, but in haste to stop the work. They got what they wanted. They absolutely got what they wanted. authority to stop the work of God. And it stopped. That's where we're at at the end of chapter 4. It stopped. The work ceased. At least for another year. For another year it stopped. Stopped. People stopped doing what God had called them to do because the adversary brought the pressure upon them. So in conclusion tonight, this year, folks, if we're going to attempt to work a work for God, there will be resistance. You understand that? Listen, if there's no resistance, we're not in the battle. Satan is real happy for you to just play church. Not so much about reaching in and seeing souls saved and lives changed. Because a life changed for Jesus Christ is another soldier reaching someone else with the gospel. And the adversary does not want that. And so if we're going to attempt to work for God, there's going to be resistance. And the adversaries have many ways to stop the work of God. Many ways. Listen, they deception, frustration, right? We find here there's frustration. There is hiring other people to hinder, weaken the hands, discourage people, make them fearful to come and be in the presence. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the adversary, and for the purpose of simply the purpose to stop the work of God, it's going to happen. By the way, if we stop getting resistance, it means we've stopped being in the battle. But let's remember this, and I want to close with this thought. It's not our work. It's not my work. This is not your work. It's the Lord's work. Amen? So listen, the adversary, it's his adversary. You know what? My father could whoop your father. Amen? He is the one. He is the one. It's his battle. And let's don't get discouraged. Let's don't get defeated. Listen, God gives blessings, and we see this, and the devil sees this. And there's going to be pressure on your lives personally, other areas you didn't expect. It happens. And by the way, this isn't going to be a one-off thing. This VBA, it's not going to be a one-off thing. We're going to see God continue to do stuff. We have seen God do stuff, and it's almost like this happens and boom, that happens, and we see this battle going on. But listen, let's not be the ones that are their hands are weakened. Let's be the ones that say, Lord, you said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So God, I'm going to trust you. I trust you. Like those that went before us trusted Him. We're going to see here, it ended there. It doesn't end there. It ended there in chapter 4, but it's going to go on because the work goes on. Let's all stand together.